Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today within the series of Covenant and Kingdom, and by the way, next week is the last in the series, we're going to look at a really interesting idea. Well, I think it's interesting. It's the person of peace. It's a term in Scripture which you could almost glide over, and indeed in the translation that we had read to us doesn't use the term person of peace, but it used a different frame. It mounts the same. A person of peace is someone who God has prepared ahead of time to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus through your life. We recognize these folk by the way they will welcome you, by the way they genuinely enjoy your company and want to be around you. Joe Saxton put it this way: what we see in Scripture is that the person of peace is the one who welcomes you, who will receive who you are, who is open to you, open to what you have to say about Jesus, open to the life you have lived because of Jesus. But they're also someone who serves you. So often when we're seeking to minister, we want to do everything for somebody else. But the person of peace often wants to make a contribution in some way. End of quote. However, in order to recognize the person of peace, we need to make ourselves vulnerable. We can't rely on our own self-worth, our self-solutions, or our own self-protection. We're going to need to rely on Jesus completely, which means we're going to need to point people to Jesus. See, we are not their saviour. And we say, well, I know that we're not, but sometimes the way in which we treat people, it almost seems that we are. Only Jesus can be their saviour and Lord. This is something we need to be real about and make it clear that Jesus is not only our saviour, but he has come to be theirs as well. The other side of this, and this is the uncomfortable part, we're going to need to be willing to be persons of unpeace, as well as be confronted by people of unpeace. And this is something most of us fear. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he said they would experience welcome and rejection. When they were sent in his name to talk about and to demonstrate his kingdom. He made it clear that we too will need to be bold to be on his mission. People need to know we love Jesus. Some will receive us, others will reject us. And until we're ready to put Jesus first and accept the reception or rejection he received, we won't find the person of peace. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he sent them to certain places in his name, representing him with a specific message to give and a task to do. Jesus didn't send them out as undercover agents. I think sometimes in our world and in terms of evangelism, that's almost the impression that we are told, you know, we kind of do it as undercover agents. But that's not what Jesus did. They were openly saying that the kingdom of God has come near in Jesus. There was nothing subtle about why they were in town. If you go out representing Jesus in his name and with his authority, then it's true when he says, if they welcome you, they will welcome me. If they reject you, they reject me. But if you are ashamed of Jesus or the gospel in any way, if we are unwilling to experience the same kind of scorn and opposition that Jesus faced, you won't be able to find the person of peace. Because that person of peace is primed and ready to receive Jesus. And you won't look like Jesus to them. Because you're essentially going out in your own name, not on his behalf. We need to go faithfully and willing, letting Jesus be seen in us with all the consequences of it. It's then that people will identify in you that you are marked by Jesus. They'll recognize that. How many times have I heard people say, I didn't know so-and-so was a Christian. They never told me. There was nothing that convinced them by the way in which they chose to live. There was an absence of something. And what was interesting, often they're looking for it. We need to let something of the declaration of God be seen in us. There is a line we must cross, a death we must die, before we see the persons of peace. When we die to ourselves and embrace being identified as a fool for Christ, we'll find persons of peace. will also find rejection and opposition, because you don't get one without the other. The good news, though, is that if we embrace this and truly go out in Christ's name, then it will be his authority that clothes us, and his power that protects us and flows through us, says Ben Sturrock. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you." Say, "Peace to this house." If a person of peace is there. You'd almost would miss that statement, wouldn't you? If a person of peace is there. They are peaceful people. The person of peace. We just glide on and don't think about what that might mean. It's very often, isn't it? Isn't sometimes in the subtleness of statement that the true colour is seen. Now, if you look at a painting, and you can do this sometimes with a computer, you extract one colour and it doesn't look like the painting anymore, does it? Put the painting colour back in, and all of a sudden it comes diverse and rich. There's one little statement. If a person of peace is there, the person of peace, we could miss it, and yet its absence has affected so much. Jesus never chased after anyone. It's interesting, isn't it? He didn't go out of it. Sure, we have the parable of Jesus searching for the lost sheep. But in terms of the life and ministry of Jesus, as you look, he met people, as Mark often says, on the way. He met people on the way. He never chased after anyone. But he made himself available to the willing, to those who were sincerely seeking God. And Jesus is telling us to do the same. This is a wonderfully liberating. Jesus tells us to look for the person of peace in our lives. What does that mean? It means God is in the equation. There are certain people who are open to relationship with you. Those are persons of peace. God is at work in the lives of people around us. He touches people with his word, with his spirit, and through others. So if we calibrate our radar, I just love that statement, calibrate our radar, tune ourselves in, and commit to investing ourselves where there is an opening, and work with the willing, we will be following God's plan. Only the Holy Spirit can open hearts to hear the gospel. You can try as much as you like, but if the Spirit is not opening that heart, it will be just words. Maybe something to do with the journey, but in the end, it's the Holy Spirit that opens the hearts. And when those opportunities arise, we are to be his witness, to tell our story of God's activity in our lives. It's reassuring to know that God is our partner in this work. The Spirit is planting the seed and preparing folk. Our job is to be attuned to the spiritual temperature of those we meet. Mike Breen and Steve Cockrum emphasize discerning what season of life the person is living. They point out in Scripture that there are seasons of planting, seasons of watering, a time of harvest. This is what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 3. I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God has been making it grow. So we are challenged to discern whether it is the time for planting seeds, the time for watering, or a time for harvest. If we truly understand this is God's work, we will be much happier doing planting and watering, even if we do not see the fruit of the work. Although it's great encouragement when you do. I remember some years ago, I was running fairly regularly Alpha courses, and I just saw people come to faith, and they were part of the Alpha course, and then they would trot off to some church somewhere else. And I don't mind building the kingdom of God. It's a real call that's on my life. And so I was happy about it, but I was kind of beginning to get a bit discouraged, and I was saying, "Lord, just look, just somebody out of these people coming to faith, just bring them into the church." And there was this couple, and they'd gone through the Alpha course, and they renewed their commitment to Christ, and they, you know, determined to follow him. And they came to me and they said, "Look, I think we might go off to the husband's former church. You know, we've kind of got some connections there." And I was going, "Oh, damn. I mean, how many times, Lord, have I got to go through this journey? And then the next week they came along and they said, actually, we've been thinking about it and we're going to hang in with you guys. I thought, oh, gosh, isn't that? Yeah, that was just good news. I like building the kingdom of God, but yeah, there's encouragement if we do see the fruit for what we do. But we're not to be dependent on it. We depend on the cause of God being worked out in their life. If we're intentional in seeking the person of peace, then we will quit stressing over those who are not open to hearing the gospel from us. They are simply not persons of peace to us, at least not at that time. We are simply to offer up our peace. If it's not accepted, it returns to us and we move on. Sadly, some of those closest to us, friends and family, will not be persons of peace to us. Sometimes simply because they are too close. And they know, you know, that you do other things and that kind of can get in the way of them hearing what it is. The gospel, on the other hand, know that your life has been a constant testimony to the grace of God. This is where we need to understand that we're part of a team. What we can't do or be, God will have someone who can. I've often said, mainly because it was part of my experience, and heard me say, I'm just so grateful to Ray because he was this person for me. That those of us who come from families whereabouts, you know, we're steeped in Christian tradition and Christian life and commitment, it very often requires somebody outside the family to ask the critical question that brings us to faith, simply because they're not your mum and dad or your brothers and sisters. Does that make sense? So you need to understand that you are part of a team. To help us understand this better, all this can be really freeing. It is choosing to work with the willing. It's hard to push a rope or herd a cat. I've tried it recently. Really difficult to herd a cat, isn't it? No, they just go anywhere and they seem to anticipate the move before you get there. But we try anyway. All we can do is make an offer. People are free to say no. And if they are, and if we are not comfortable with that, then we will risk manipulating people. Now, to help us understand this better, I want us to look at this diagram. It's an octagon, and it represents the key elements of understanding a person of peace in our role. And each word will be a P. And the first is presence. Presence. Meeting a person of peace happens where you spend time around people, at work, at the clubs and hobbies and community, travelling and shopping and so on. Wherever you are, you have an opportunity to model Jesus, acting as he would act, speaking as he would speak. As you show kindness and speak encouragement, it is in this setting that the person of peace may become evident to you. Secondly, the passing relationships or the sprint. This is someone you meet once or twice and God opens the door for you to have a conversation about Jesus. Your task is to take the chance and walk through the door, start the conversation. It requires courage. We see such chance opportunities in the story of Philip and the Ethiopian on the Gaza Road. God organized the right opportunity and the right time with someone who God had already prepared. I remember getting on a plane on my way to in Christchurch on the way to Auckland, and by the time we landed in Auckland, the two businesswomen sitting beside me were asking me to pray with them. It can happen like that. Does it happen every time? No, and sometimes I don't want it to happen every time either. And maybe I'm just in some other zone and I just don't want to be that available. Just that's part of the humanity for which there's no excuse. But when opportunities are there, time again, I've had people in the car who have been hitchhiking and have had just amazing opportunities to share the gospel with them. At counters, at checkouts, these passing opportunities. Thirdly, then, is the marathon, the permanent relationships. These are the people we see often and are part of our daily lives, families, friends, co-workers, neighbours and so on. You don't force these things here. It requires patience and perseverance. Remember this, James, the brother of Jesus, didn't believe until after the resurrection. If it took that long for one of Jesus' family, I think we can relax about some of our friends and family. Now, I often look at that, and I wonder what Jesus felt when he sort of saw the attitude of his brothers, and maybe even his mother at times, but particularly his family. I wondered, you know, what it's all going to be. But James, his brother, became James the Great. Said he had knees like camels from much praying. Number four, proclamation. This is when you have the opportunity to talk of Jesus and invite a response. We've talked about this on many occasions, and many of you have thought about it. Many and have practiced it, sharing the gospel with one another. And a couple of years ago, we got you all to do that in the fourth Sundays of the month services here. Remember, keep it short and clear. When God is actively working with you and people are drawn to you because they see Jesus in you, your job then is to be ready to tell the good news. Preparation. This is essential discipleship skill. It's about learning to cultivate a person's life so that the seed of faith may grow. You'll be helping someone to get a little closer to Jesus. Many people have a role to play. Six is power. Where God's power is evident, it can open up the opportunity to speak of Jesus, and it really helps people to respond. That's why praying for healing is so important. It builds faith and creates a desire to understand more about the God who does great things. It is good to be able to help people understand what they have witnessed and be able to offer them a way to respond. Pray for the sick. And perception, developing the personal and spiritual sensitivity to gauge how open someone is to God and the life he offers them. Part of this is learning to be sensitive to the leading and the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's why listening for God's voice is so important. Another part of this has to do with the social skills and discerning how open someone is to talk about Jesus and how ready they are to commit themselves to him. There's no point trying to start a conversation if the door's closed. You usually get a sense of that pretty quickly. And go on and talk about something else. So I often said, if you try a door and nothing kind of is not the right one, what you do next is the most important thing. And if they turn their back on you because you express some sort of faith in God at that point, the next thing is really critical. Are you prepared to be their friend, even if they choose to say no? Because that will stick in their mind. I know, I've seen it. Another part of this is to do, I've said that, but yet another factor is a knowing a person and the things going on in their lives. This is about learning to recognize clues and cues. What are the clues? If you listen carefully and with love, people will tell you what their needs and challenges are. The cues. People will often say something that provides a cue that they want to hear what you have to say. And so we have these seven things, and the fifth being the person of peace. And we have these eight sides to this octagon. It's part of the 3DM diagrams. We need to think about this and reflect on it. And how might it work? Well, a person of peace senses in you. They perceive in you that there is something of Jesus there. And they happen to actually be a permanent friend, somebody who you spend a lot of time with. And they know that the presence of Jesus is there, and they're looking to you, and they're watching you. It's scary having people watch you, maybe, but they do. And you've been all the time in your conversation and your attitudes, and when opportunity is given, maybe that you said, "Oh, look, I've been praying for you because this is happening or that's happening," and you've been preparing their hearts to receive something, and then maybe they fall sick, and you pray for their healing. In response, they finally say yes to Jesus. All these things come together and work, and you're part of a team that's contributing to that, and your own life in a variety of ways will contribute to it. The person of peace. What we need to do then is to pray that God will help us to be bold and to risk being accepted or rejected by others in order to recognize the person of peace in our lives, so we can join Jesus on his mission to redeem and restore the lives of our family, friends and neighbors by his word and spirit. One of the reasons I don't tend to wear clerical collars and so on is because I want people to know me for who I am before they know me for what I do. Because sometimes when people know what I do, it actually gets in the way. I've seen that. And so I can think of a situation which is real, and whereabouts I spent quite a bit of time talking with somebody who didn't know what job I did. The conversation developed over a period of time. And then one day I happened to say to him, and it just seemed right to do it. I said, yeah, well, I was a minister in that area whereabouts he had previously lived. And then it was just like he opened up like a flower. And he just started talking to me. He talked to me about why he was an atheist. He talked to me about some of the struggles going on and some of the health issues that are happening. And so conversation moved on. Now, I don't know where the consequences of that will go. I'm part of the cog of God in the movement of that person's life towards Christ. And my prayer is that wherever, if it's me or someone else, will be there, God will use in order to bring them through to the place where the God he chooses not to believe will reveal himself to him so that he might believe and have that choice. Isn't that cool? Isn't that the sort of thing? And all of us, I'm not anybody special in doing this. It's a risk for me. It's a risk for you. But under the hand of God, and because it's his business, things can happen for God's kingdom. Look for the person of peace in your life. Father, we thank you that you call us to be discerning of the people around us. Help us to be aware of the persons of peace, the people who relate to us, who we get along with, people who we spend time with, and that you move towards yourself. Help us, Lord, to know when to speak, when it is to plant seeds, when it is to water, when it is to ask the challenging question that they might respond to your kingdom. Holy Spirit, give us that sensitive, and we're thankful that it's because of your work that we're able to follow and do what you require us to do. So Lord, we thank you that you give a covenant relationship with us and you call us to a kingdom responsibility. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.